Wake up informed. It's Hudson Valley Focus with Tom Sipas on the Beacon.
+820 on Hudson Valley Focus Live on the Beacon. Robbie, do you want to tell us, the audience, what that breaking news is, please?
Yes. So Donald Trump was on Fox and Friends, I believe, right now, and he just came out and said that the, I think with a high degree of certainty, we have him in custody talking about the assassin of Charlie Kirk.
The alleged assassin, I guess we'll paraphrase that. And I did jump over to the Wall Street Journal. They have that story on there, and it says that President Trump said that somebody that was very close to the suspect in the fatal shooting turned him in. And what a week. What a week it's been. So let's hope that this is not, you know, some misreported information, and that we go forward. But this idea about what has taken place, and Tracy, I'll come to you in one second here. This narrative to divide we the people, it's why I've spoken about it on air for at least 20 years, but it really does go back to the 1980s when Ronald Reagan was president. And my theory about this is that Ronald Reagan lifted millions of people out of poverty and undermined the base of a lot of the Democrat Party. And they have been misrepresenting to the public in all those years since as to where we really are. And when Tracy, over the same 40-plus years, we look at the decline of Americans' health, which brings us to where we are today with RFK Jr. and really getting accurate information out. Read the quote that you said to me before we were on air, please, from George Orwell, correct?
Correct. And like I said, this ties into what happened to Charlie Kirk, what's happening just, I think, across the nation and worldwide. And it really has to do with truth.
Yes.
Which is what we, you know, we talk about every time I come in, right? The truth of what's going on with health, with nutrition, taking accountability. So, and I believe Charlie Kirk, that's one of the things, he spoke truth.
Yes.
So I have a quote here from, actually it's George Orwell. And it says, "The further society drifts from the truth, the more of it will hate those who speak it." And I believe that's really part of what happened to Charlie Kirk, right? He wasn't only killed for the words he spoke and the truth he spoke, but because our children were listening. He went into the den. He went into the colleges. He was changing hearts and minds, not with violence.
No.
He was changing with respectful conversation. I mean, really, he wanted to engage in conversation. And you know, mostly with people who didn't agree with him, which, again, we used to be able to agree to disagree, right? I mean,
so when I look back over all these years, and I will admit that, you know, 12, 13 years ago, before I started talking to Doc Rick and to talking to you about this, even though this had played out in front of me in terms of the decline of American health, I hadn't seen it. I hadn't heard it. But what do we also know is that when we look at the revenue sources to particularly television, who are their biggest revenue sources? Well, the cereal companies, the food companies, the pharmaceutical industry. And them ever, you know, doing investigative journalism and explaining to the public what was going on, they weren't doing it. Well, also then you look at the fact that the cross linkage of ownership from some of the big, you know, investment firms of cross ownership in media companies, in pharmaceutical companies, in food companies.
Well, look at who was funding research too.
Yeah.
Oh, and we've talked about that in past shows.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the fact that I was shocked during COVID to learn how much money was flowing to our federal health agencies from these very same companies. Well, What is that? That goes back to the golden rule, right? He who issues the gold issues the rules.
Well, that's not the one I follow. But
I know.
That's all right.
I know. But that's so. I mean, we've learned so much in the last 5 years, and a large percent of the population still has not been clued into what's really going on in terms of how much real information has been withheld from them about the decline in American health.
Well, isn't there something that if you keep telling a lie, right? Eventually,
yeah, tell
you
the big lie, repeat it over and over again.
People that it's the truth.
And yeah, you know, and I really think I talked about how our society, you know, really the division did take its roots during the Reagan administration, but then fast forward to the 1992 presidential election, and that was the big lie. The worst economy in 50 years. It's the economy, stupid. This was out of the Bill Clinton campaign, James Carville, Paul Begala, and the coarsening, the real coarsening of American political language, I think has its roots right there. The vast right-wing conspiracy that came out of the Clinton campaign, and they were really trying to cover up what we know now were crimes of the Clintons. Mm-hmm. This is what... What is it going to take, though, for this to cross all political boundaries and come back to, you know, one nation under God, indivisible?
Well, again, and this is what Charlie Kirk said, it comes back to conversation. When people stop communicating and stop talking, this is what leads to the violence. And this is what's been happening.
Over the last several years, and particularly on social media, I've been tempted at times to, you know, unfriend or block some of these people I went to school with. But I don't, because I want to keep track of their comments, and they can comment. I have you say that, say Orwell's quote again.
The further society drifts from the truth, the more of it will hate those who speak it.
The criticism that I've gotten from some of my classmates, I've been talking about horrible things said to me, written to me. And yet the information that I have posted is 100% verifiable in terms of jobs, the economy, the healthcare issues, the decline of life expectancy going back, you know, after the passage of Obamacare. There are, I'll bet there's not more than 5% of the population that knows that the American life expectancy actually declined after the passage of Obamacare because of those very high deductibles that people who on paper had coverage couldn't access it because they couldn't afford to cover the deductible.
The deductible. Mm-hmm.
True story. And again, this is not reported to the American public. And like I was saying a few minutes ago, with the passage of Obamacare, and it put those thresholds in there at the, and I never remember if it was when you hired the 50th or the 51st person, you now had to come into compliance with all these new rules and regulations. And the firms that actually laid off people because they couldn't afford, actually crippling small business.
Mm-hmm.
And some mid-sized businesses. And who lobbied for that? Big business. I know I sound like a crazy person. I get it. But when we look at all of this, and this ties into what we're talking about this morning, about how important food and nutrition is to, was it the serotonin? What are the things that help our sense of well-being?
The serotonin, oxytocin. You want to decrease cortisol levels because that affects your immune system. You know, and again, I think... when you're stressed or sick, you can't think clearly.
No.
Right? So how do you control a population?
Yeah.
Right?
Induce fear and anxiety.
Right. And make them sick.
You've weakened the immune system. This stuff, I mean, we're looking here talking, and this is what you and I have talked about, Tracy, now for a dozen years. It's the holistic approach to caring for ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
So it is 8:30 on Hudson Valley Focus Live on the Beacon. Tracy A., registered dietitian. Quick break and back to pick up this all-important conversation here on the Beacon.
Now, back to Hudson Valley Focus with Tom Sipas on the Beacon.
Ooh. 8:35 on Hudson Valley Focus Live on the Beacon. Tracy here, registered dietitian in studio with me. Tracy, we're at a great time of the year. People to get out, visit our local farm markets. We've got the local produce, even in some of the chain grocery stores. But to go out with family, with the socialization, the pick your owns, this is all part of keeping us healthy individuals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, we've talked about numerous times about how diet impacts mental health and well-being, and how
bring that mic a little closer to you or you to it.
Yeah, sorry, I was just kind of, and how eating all these fast foods and increased saturated fats, the unhealthy fats, lots of sugar, all increases depression and anxiety. Again, decreases your serotonin levels, right? Your oxytocin. Again, increases cortisol. So again, eating, as we say, whole foods.
This issue about our federal health agencies, everything that you just said, has been in these federal health agencies for decades.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't new information.
Nope.
And yet we have watched Americans' health and life expectancy decline.
Mm-hmm.
And the same people who were in charge somebody like Anthony Fauci was there, I think, since 1968.
Yeah, again.
Francis Collins, who was the overall head of National Institute of Health, there for decades. And again, this information should have been out there in front of the public regularly. Why wasn't it? Why wasn't it out there? And what have we learned just within the last few days about the suppression of information during COVID between Anthony Fauci and Francis Collins and their other people within the National Institute of Health and the Center for Disease Control? These emails that have now been unearthed, they knew damn well a day after some of the stuff that was going on.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, for me to sit here on this 12th day of September and talk about this, oh, you're making that up, probably, you're a crazy person. That's what we're up against. Back to Orwell's quote, the people who tell the truth in a world turned upside down are seen as crazy people.
Yeah, and again, it just becomes engaging in conversation. And even with what I do in educating my clients, like I said, it's a lot easier.
Back up to that 1 second, because people may be hearing you for the first time and don't know what you do.
Oh, so I've been doing early intervention for, over 20 years now. So, I work with children at risk from birth to three. That's mainly what I do. I mean, I do, older as well, but that's the main focus.
And that's kind of failure to thrive, perhaps because of problems with the digestive system, nutrition, et cetera.
Correct. But it also comes into the children on the autism spectrum, sensory integration disorders, all kinds of GI things, leading from constipation, reflux, food allergies, kind of the gamut. So in, educating parents, that's always what I say I'm there to do. I'm there to educate. And I'm not there to coerce anybody. I'm not there to, to demand somebody follow what I'm saying. It's kind of like trust but verify,
mm-hmm.
right? But it's become easier now than it was 20 years ago. Because, again, we were kind of fighting these lies by omission.
Right.
I had the food guide pyramid, which, was the original one was turned totally upside down. And as, we've spoken before, but for people who haven't heard, there was one dietitian that was on that panel and she stepped off because she said, this is ridiculous. Nothing of this is nutrition.
Right.
It was all the cereal companies,
Well, and of course, we have a SNAP program, Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, that has been actually subsidizing some of the crap food.
Yeah.
With federal taxpayer dollars.
Right.
And we've known for years now that it's been leading to the increase in negative health effects.
Mm-hmm. But it's really that conversation and gaining the You know, again, always have being respectful. I mean, I've had many a client, many a parent kind of come up against, you know, what I'm suggesting, recommending. And again, you have to be kind. You have to be respectful. You have to, I always show my sources, right? Like you said, like all the things yes. that I speak about, I've researched. And but again, I always say it's about education. And that's.
And I want to go back, Tracy, and the fact that the importance of, here we're talking about failure to thrive on the part of infants, young mm-hmm. children. But going back, and we've spoken about this in quite a while, but the absolute importance of prenatal care, both in women and in men.
Mm-hmm.
How critically important is it?
Very important. I mean, because you're talking about DNA.
Yes.
Right. So you used to think, well, it's not that important for dads to have good nutrition. Well, it is, because it affects your DNA. So, but just back for a moment, back to the failure to thrive.
Sure.
I will have to say one thing. I've never liked the fact that that's a diagnosis. In my opinion, in all the years I've been dealing with these parents, that when you tell a parent your child is failing to thrive, it's devastating. It's always bothered me. Because really, the failure to thrive, there's a reason for it. So instead of saying, diagnosis something, a child with, oh, you're failing to thrive, let's find out what's going on underneath before, because parents feel like it's their fault.
Mm-hmm.
And generally it is not. You know, it's something else that's going on that's, you know, beyond their control, or they need to, again, be made aware of what is really going on.
There are instances where, you know, everybody's done everything exactly right and you still can wind up with health issues.
And exactly. So, and I'll always tell a parent or a client, say, you know, you can't beat yourself up for what you didn't know.
Right.
And it's from here we go forward. And now we know it, and now we're going to address it. And here's the proper way to address it, where we're going to get results, you know. So, yeah, that failure to thrive diagnosis has always bothered me because it's so devastating.
But I want to go back again, though, and to the fact that both men and women, the prenatal care of food, nutrition, the use of drugs, alcohol, smoking, all of these things are factors that go into our quality of health that are transferred, mm-hmm. you know, during a pregnancy that are going to impact.
Well, and we've talked about this before. There's research that's been done now on if a mother is obese or has autoimmune things going on, that actually increases the risk of having a child with an autistic diagnosis. It makes them, I think it's 10 times more prone, especially
wow.
if it's a male.
Wow.
Yes. So again, any kind of inflamed state during pregnancy, you know, should be addressed.
Right.
And we know in obesity that there's inflammation there as well.
And I, whenever that comes up, I always think about the conversation I had with the oral surgeon. It was during COVID that I had to have a tooth extracted. And while they're waiting for the Novocaine to take effect, we were talking about the health, nutrition. And he is the one who said to me, he said, do you know that an individual who is, you know, obese or extremely obese has a 4 times greater risk of dying under general anesthesia? And I had never heard that before. And so, no, I never heard that one before. And he said, yeah, oh yeah, it's absolutely so. This, why we have it, and I'm not talking about, you know, fat shaming or any of that mm-hmm. stuff that I've been accused of. We're talking about quality of life issues, so that people can lead a quality of life, you know, that they want to have.
Exactly.
Not be disabled in some form or another, or always dealing with chronic illness, chronic inflammation.
Yep. Which leads to, like I said, chronic fatigue. I mean, there's a lot of things. I mean, and like I said, people are tired of being sick and tired.
Yes.
You know, that's become the norm for a lot of people, which is very sad.
Exactly. And Robbie's never going to complain about being tired again. He told me, because one of his teachers told him that, what did your teacher tell you?
That tired is not a good excuse. Everyone's tired, and no one's going to stop what they're doing and cater to you if you're tired. So you better stop saying you're tired. And ever since then, I've never complained or used the excuse "I'm tired" for
and
anything.
Just get on with it.
And that's been around 13 years going on right now.
There you go. So 8:45 on Hudson Valley Focus Live. Tracy Hay, registered dietitian, in studio with me. Quick Zoll's update, and then back in a minute to wrap it up on this Friday morning on the Beacon.
It's Hudson Valley Focus with Tom Sipas on the Beacon.
8:48 on Hudson Valley Focus on the Beacon. I want to again thank Dr. Jonah Shanker for spending time with me 6:30 to 7 o'clock this morning from Ulster BOCES. And we will be with Dr. Shanker and the crew 3 weeks from today, broadcasting from the new iPark 87 facility for the October 3rd National Manufacturing Day broadcast. Really looking forward to that. So mark your calendars, please. Right now, back to my conversation with Tracy. So let me say this. The conversation I had with Dr. Shanker, he was part of our very first Manufacturing Day broadcast, you know, for 12 years ago. I guess it was 11 years ago. Here they are opening up this new 140,000 square foot facility for the BOCES and all the new equipment and all. We can look back, great progress. You and I have been working together for a little bit longer than that, even, I think. I can look back now, Tracy Hay, and I think it's been a real slow slog, but I think we're making some progress finally. And I noticed the people pushing back against Robert F. Kennedy Jr. in the MAHA. I mean, I've got some questions about some of the things he's spoken about in the past. I get that. But he's bringing to the forefront science, nutrition. You know, let's look at the causes of autism. Mm-hmm. Have these vaccines been adequately tested? Is the vaccine schedule with multiple doses overwhelming the body's immune system, especially in young people? These are all honest, valid, science-based questions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have a question. Why you have to, out of the womb, not many minutes out, have to give a child a vaccine?
Right.
Like that, for what? The child just came out of the womb,
right.
Hasn't been exposed to anything. There's many questions that I had with vaccines, and you know, people again over the years have heard that about, you know, that's why Delaney's homeschooled, because that religious exemption got taken away, and because I did my research, and you know, she has some, but I didn't see the reason to keep boosting. She had a reaction to one as an infant, which sent me down the path.
Mm-hmm.
To ask these questions. So
the advent of sanitary systems and clean water.
And better food.
Mm-hmm.
All increased health.
Yes.
So if you go back and look at even before the vaccines were available.
Absolutely.
All of this was increased. All this, the measles was going down.
Yes.
All of it. So again, I always say due diligence, do your research. You look for the truth, really.
And the fact, but that this idea of really moving away from the ultra-processed foods, just within the last 12 months, maybe since RFK really got into the mix last year, this issue about ultra-processed foods finally is getting some recognition, where they're saying that a lot of young kids today getting 70% of their calorie intake from ultra-processed foods.
Mm-hmm. It's just astounding. But again, we looked at the marketing of the foods. We look who's behind paying for the foods. We look who, the lobbyists. We look, and sometimes...
And speaking of lobbyists, by the way, to Tom and Spagnuolo, it's K Street, K Street, where all of the lobbyists are the majority are headquartered. So and they do have this absolute outdo influence. We were talking about a minute ago about the SNAP program, the lobbyists for those companies that, you know, whether it's the sweetened beverages, the candies, the whatever else is still in those programs at the federal level, have lobbied and lobbied and lobbied to keep those in there. And it's I've seen different figures. It's somewhere between, I don't know, $12 and $20 billion a year that basically is corporate welfare to those companies. And then correspondingly, we wind up with health issues in the population that we are then paying for a second time in the treatment of health issues.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And like I said, the amount of sugar that's kind of dosed into our population, it's put mm-hmm. into everything in all kinds of forms, which we've talked about, high fructose corn syrup. And so, and like I said, when you're looking at depression and things like that, sugar is a big contributor.
Yes.
Especially look at the teenagers, the amount of depression and anxiety. And I mean, it's
we didn't even touch on that. No. We'll have to do that the next time, though. Really talking about this, especially the issue of the antidepressants in young females. As if these numbers are accurate, and they seem to be, a 63% increase in antidepressants to young females after COVID.
Mm-hmm. But again, when you look at, so I actually have an old article here from Mercola that talks about poor diet, lack of sunshine, and spiritual anemia are three potent contributors to depression and anxiety. And I don't think that third one is...
Spiritual anemia.
Yeah, that faith.
Wow. And that survey that we did the other day, particularly in the Gen Z women who voted for Harris, the spirituality was almost at the bottom of the ranking.
So... I mean, faith plays a huge and profound role in shaping mental health. I mean, it provides hope, peace, purpose, and resilience in the face of life's challenges. And this is one of the things that Charlie Kirk was also speaking about, and very strongly. And actually, one of his quotes, which was, you know, what did he want to be remembered most for? He wanted to be remembered most for the courage for his faith. That would be the most important thing. The most important thing is the faith in my life.
Wow.
That's a quote from him. And that's what he was telling our young people. That was a huge component in joy and happiness. So
exactly.
You know.
So we're minutes, only a few seconds from running out of time here this morning. Just to jump over to Monday for one quick second here. Excuse me. On Monday, I have Kareem Patterson from AJ Boxing in with me. There's an event coming up on Saturday, October 4th that we're going to be talking about. And then, of course, it'll be a Monday sports day with Rick Zolzer, and Rick's going to be in with us with Kareem Patterson as well. I'm going to updates on the economy, and we certainly will know more on Monday as to whether or not this arrest of this individual, the alleged assassin of Charlie Kirk, where that story stands. Tracy, I really want to thank you for consistently bringing, you know, good, accurate information to us here on Hudson Valley Focus Live.
Well, thank you for the platform.
You're welcome. Listeners, have a great day in the Valley. Get out, enjoy yourselves with family, friends, good food, good nutrition. Meet me back here Monday morning at 6 on Hudson Valley Focus Live on The Beacon.